We are talking about students voting. We're talking about young people voting. What's motivating them to vote or not?
Can't complain if we don't do anything about it. So vote, please.
No pressure. We do expect you to help save our democracy.
Yes, yeah, save the democracy.
Other
save
than
the world.
That, have a great
and
day.
And the climate and the
and just
world
a couple
and
other
everything else.
A little few things.
Don't move. Vote.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
So, if you were to match with someone on a dating app and their opening line was, hey, are you voting? So, you'd immediately unmatch with that person. You're like, oh, yeah, I see you. I'm into this. Because that is the theory of a new program that Next Gen America has been launching. Next Gen is the nation's largest youth voting organization using innovative digital and field strategies to turn out young voters in key states like Wisconsin, and our guest for this segment is NextGen's National Press Secretary, Christy Johnson. How you doing, Christy?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
You got the memo that you're wearing the Green Bay Packer fleece, that you knew.
Yes.
You're going to be talking to some Wisconsin folks.
Well, no, I am a Packer fan. I've been a Packer fan since I was born, and this is one of my outfits for one of my pictures. So.
Do you have feelings about the Aaron Rodgers pending?
It's bittersweet, and I've been talking to a lot of my matches about this, because one of my prompts is, what if I told you that Aaron Rodgers might leave you, but I never would? So a lot of conversations have opened up around that. I think it's bittersweet. I grew up watching him, still a big fan, but I think it's time for him to go.
I'm immunized from breaking your heart.
I know, right? Well, I was like, I'm looking for somebody like Jordan Love. I think Jordan Love has a girlfriend, but maybe somebody is similar to him. But
that's hilarious. All right. So tell us about this program, because I think I understand what you guys are doing, but I want to hear it from the horse's mouth.
Okay, great. Yeah. So this is my program. I launched in Arizona for Next Gen in 2020. We piloted it there when we went to all virtual organizing because of the pandemic. Last year, we brought it to the national program for the midterms. This year, we just launched for the national program again last week, starting with organizing in Wisconsin for the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. So Hinge is the app that we're using right now, because that's the only app you can change your location for free. So we have boots on the ground in Madison, in Green Bay, and in Milwaukee, but a lot of our organizers are changing their location to Wisconsin to make that connection and then also get them what they need to vote.
So basically, so if I'm understanding this correctly, you are on the app, you're swiping along, mm-hmm. and
in the trenches. I say I'm in the trenches of Madison Hinge right now.
I'm sure you have some interesting stories as far as some of the profiles you've come across, you're swiping along. You match with someone, and mm-hmm. is the opening line, do you immediately go to the questions about voting, or is there a little small talk ahead of time? And, like, how often are people also like, what the hell? Like, really caught off guard that this is not where they thought the conversation was going to go.
Right. Yeah. I mean, for me, a lot of my conversations have opened up about the Packers. And then I, you know, tie them into how I'm feeling, my stress around the election, and if they're feeling a certain way about Aaron Rodgers leaving, I'll be like, yeah, I'm pretty upset too right now with like what's going on with reproductive rights. Like, we also might not, you know, it's just tying it in that kind of relational organizing way has been the most effective for me. But our main goal, we've been sending them the link to our Wisconsin voting hub, which they can check their registration, they can find their polling place, they can see what's on the ballot. So giving them the resources that they need. I haven't tallied yet, but I've had a lot of pledges come my way. I thought at first I was going to get like unmatched or blocked or something, but they're like, yep, got it done. Like, okay, when are we getting drinks now? And I'm like, I'll get back to you. But yeah, I do have a few virtual drinks lined up. I do have a ticket to a Packers game.
Okay. With the date that you met?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
I haven't seen the ticket yet, but yeah, I was talking to him yesterday. He was like, this is the second time you mentioned that. So I think I'm going to have to take you now. So I think as long as I can get my flight out to Green Bay, I'll get to go to a Packers game. Hopefully.
So how often are these conversations? I mean, you can answer anecdotally, because I'm sure you're not tracking how each conversation is going. But I guess mm-hmm. how many are actually in the could lead to dates and matches versus mm-hmm. how much is really like, yeah, I don't really want to match with you. I'm just trying to get you to vote.
Right. I mean, so I've been matching with people I either think I would go on a date with, or if they say something interesting in their opening line. So I'm not doing it for the numbers. Okay. I'm doing it to find a connection, as well as, you know, get them to vote as well. So, yeah, that's kind of been my method around it.
And how many people are on the ground, either in Wisconsin or people you said like they could? And I actually quick joke about changing your location. This is how I met my husband. Because I had not on yet Hinge. Moved to because I had not yet moved to Milwaukee yet. I was still in Wisconsin Rapids, but I wanted to scope out the guys in Milwaukee. Hinge was the only one you could do, because the rest of them are geolocation of where are you currently. Yeah. And so he was like, "Hey, can I take you out?" And I go, "Well, you can in 6 weeks when I actually move to Milwaukee."
See, there you go. I don't feel like a catfish at all anymore. I have a few people calling me out for that. Maybe some of them are watching right now because they've looked up my social media. A lot of them, kind of quickly find out my role. I do have it on my profile that I'm an organizer for NextGen. So some of my initial messages from people will be like, does she, think I'm cute, or is she just trying to get me to vote? Or, what are your intentions here? And I'm clear about, I love Wisconsin boys and I really want them to vote. So that's what I'm here for.
We're great.
You are great.
They're great. I've only had one or two iffy situations, but so nice, way nicer than California boys. So I could very well see myself moving to Madison very soon.
And absolutely. I was just there,
we were on tour with Bernie, NextGen was for the election, and we went to Madison, Eau Claire, and La Crosse, and I was like, these are the nicest people I've ever met. I wish I had my Hinge on during that time, but definitely a breath of fresh air.
And we'll bring you a casserole.
I haven't been offered a casserole yet. So
maybe the age range is off as right now. Yeah. I'm not sure 20 something.
Did you just call me old?
Well,
all right.
You're not 20 something.
It's true.
That's what's great about dating app organizing too, because our demographic at NextGen is reaching 18 to 35 year olds. So on dating apps, we're able to toggle our age range to that. So I think you're around, 33, right?
You are amazing and whatever.
I may see you on there.
No, you won't. No, you will not.
We're talking to NextGen's National Press Secretary, Kristi Johnson, about their dating apps used to court the vote ahead of our election. Ooh. It's their pun, not mine. Our election that is in 6 days. And so I guess on top of the dating apps, what are the other kind of programs that NextGen is employing in this very, as so many, I think just another, I just keep seeing headlines from national outlets saying, this is the most important race that you know nothing about. And we all know that because we talk about it all the time. But what are the other programs or, initiatives that you guys have going on in the last 6 days?
Yeah, and starting before too, because I get so defensive about this when my matches are like, well, what, you're not even, you don't live here. I'm like, we've been here since 2017. We've had boots on the ground. We've had the infrastructure to build to this moment. So it's not like it's a national org, coming in and doing this organizing. Now we've been in Wisconsin getting the youth out to vote. So we've been here since 2017, but in the next 2 days, we have a GOTV event with Mandela Barnes in Madison. We also are making 1.1 million texts and calls to voters age 18 to 35. So our dating app organizing is complementary to all the other efforts that we're doing. But for me, I feel like I'm in the trenches. Instead of like a text or a call, I'm able to actually hear what young Wisconsinites are saying. I get to actually feel the pulse of what's happening. So it's been really cool for me to get those connections so far.
Kristi, is my hope misplaced that young people are going to save our democracy in this next election on April 4th?
No. I mean, if anything, you saw a precedent set by the last election when we had historic youth vote turnout in Wisconsin. They literally elected Governor Evers. He won by 3%, and young people voted for him 70% over 30 to the Republican challenger. So that was one of the key races that we were looking at when we were evaluating the impact of the youth vote in the last election. Wisconsin, young people in Wisconsin know the stakes of this election. That's what I've identified on dating apps too. And my job is just to make sure they have the resources to cast their ballot. So I don't think your hope is misplaced. I think it's right on the nose.
And it's interesting because you said it's 18 to 35.
Yes.
It's a pretty big age range.
Yeah.
Because, and I've felt in my, the way I talk about things, I feel, and granted, I'm just outside of that age range. I am 36. And so, but what works or what resonates have you found with the like 18 to 22 still in college folks versus people in their 30s versus even people in their late 20s? Because those are three very different stages of your life that I would imagine the importance, I think for most, a lot of us, it changes over time of our relationship with politics or our relationship with our government. And so what, I don't want to say tactics because that feels really superficial, but I guess kind of as far as like messaging or tactics that work with that like coveted age group that both advertisers and get out the vote people and campaigns. It's like, what do the Gen Z 18, 22 to 22 year olds, like what do they want or what are they responding to?
Yeah, that's a good question. I wish I knew the answer to that based off of my Hinge. I'm not talking to any college boys. I think I've had that experience and I'll leave it there. So I don't know specifically for Hinge. Not even going to go there. But for our college organizing, we do like dorm storms and making sure that we're, you know, tabling and have clipboards and things like that on campuses. But outside of that, Gen Z loves TikTok. I think I'm going to do a few TikToks around my dating app organizing. Maybe we'll reach an audience there. Maybe another love connection. I have about three boyfriends right now in each Wisconsin state. So I don't...
The roster is long.
Wow.
I think I need to prioritize. I'm like, hey, I got my Packers game. I need to just like get my personal to-do list down and then we'll go from there. But it's been a lot. So I think being in the digital space as much as we can. Last year, NextGen launched an athlete influencer program, which was really cool. It was the first time. It was like the after the name, image, likeness thing. We were able to start partnering with college athletes to be messengers for us to use their social media platforms to get our resources out there to young voters. So things like that. I think that's it.
All right. Well, National Press Secretary for Next Gen America, Christy Johnson, thank you for spending time with us. I'm excited to follow up and hear how those dates go post-election once we get you back to Wisconsin.
She called me 33. I'm fine.
Yes.
I'm good.
Greg's in love with you forever.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying not to.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
My baby don't care for clothes. My baby don't care for shows. My baby cares for me.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair, and he is 33-year-old Greg Bach.
Darn right I am. Apparently 33-year-old single Greg Bach.
That too. It's interesting. So we were just talking to the National Press Secretary for Next Gen America, which is a youth voting, the largest youth voting organization. And I remember seeing, I think it was 2018, because I remember, you know, I'm part of the group that I think 2016 happened, that election happened. I got very motivated and activated into politics. And I think there was thousands of us who that was like a turning point of
that was the trigger.
Yeah. Of like, I kind of pay attention to like, oh, I need to pay attention. And I remember, so like the next big election after that was the 2018 midterms. And I was very involved and I was consuming a lot of information. And I remember some, let's say, political influencer types using that tactic back in 2018, but it was not like an organized thing. It was one creator I remember posting, and I think she, I don't know if you want to say, I don't know what the threshold of viral is anymore, but the like she got picked up by BuzzFeed and all these different outlets because she on her social media posted some of the screenshots with like names and pictures blurred out of the conversations she was having on dating apps. And, you know, it was this revolutionary thing. And now you see this organization like actually systemizing it into their program. And it sounds like, at least the way Christy talked about it, that there's not too many people who are upset by it. But it is a little, it's a little catfishy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for voting. I'm all for getting, but I just, yeah, I'd be like, okay. I'd be sad. I would be sad. I would just be like, oh, how are you voting? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to vote. Cool. You pledge to vote? Sure. Goodbye. Okay.
It's kind of like meeting someone that you think is really hot and then they're really nice to you and pay you all kinds of attention. And then you realize they're trying to sell you a vacuum cleaner.
Has that happened to you, Jane?
No.
That was a very quick answer, Jane.
But you know what I mean? It's kind of like, I feel a little lured.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I love the ultimate goal. I love the fact that people are having a great response, too. People aren't. I'm sure there are people out there who have their hyperbolic opinions, and that's fine. And I'm glad that people are voting and they're pledging to vote. But I just can't stop thinking about 33-year-old single Greg, if he was on the apps and he
met this someone, really cute girl, matched
this really
with
cute
you.
Girl, and she's into voting, and she's into politics. Welcome,
but she doesn't live here.
But she doesn't live. Hey, I grew up.
She lives in California.
Excuse me, I grew up on America Online. I'm fine with long distance relationships. It would make me like, oh.
Well, and I think, and we're not going to have enough time to really get into this, so maybe we'll revisit it either at the end of the show or at a different date, because when we come back in the next segment, we're going to be talking to researcher Don Kramer from Wisconsin Policy Forum about the new why more Wisconsin schools have turned to emergency licenses because of our teacher shortage. So we'll try to wrap it up in this segment, but I think it kind of brings up the question of by any means necessary to get out the vote. And this is not that extreme. You're not bribing people. You're not electioneering. You know,
you're not promising sex.
Not promising sex. But as far as, because it was a similar, and I think some of these apps still are around too, but similarly in 2018, apps started popping up that would, you'd download it, it would go through your phone and look at all of your contacts and match it up with public records of whether or not they voted, like the last, like what elections they voted in. And in states where you register for a party, which we don't in Wisconsin, but I think I was in New York at the time and you did there. And you could see what party they were registered as and whether or not they voted. And so it would be like you able then to go through and see your contact list and give a little nudge to remind people to vote. And, you know, that was another technology app that I think got a lot of hype in 2018. But again, people were like, this feels a little invasive. And I think it begs the question, at what, like, is there a line as far as like motivating, encouraging, pressuring the people in your life or strangers on a dating app to make sure they're registered and make sure they vote?
I mean, it goes along with what you were just saying. I think if you're motivating and you're encouraging, that's great. As long as you're not promising anything or putting yourself in danger. Like when she said she's coming here for a package, I'm like, girl.
That's a commitment. That's a really big commitment for a first date. Because those games are long.
Yeah. Do you have a friend coming with you? Because that too. Football is a long endeavor in and of itself.
Like dating app first dates, coffee, one drink. Yeah. Not even dinner. Yeah, dinner's too long.
If she's coming for a Packer game, we might have to go with her.
Yeah. Lambo isn't spelled with an O at the end. He's not taking you to the field. These are fake tickets.
But you know, I just think it's interesting. Like, I applaud them for being innovative, or how do you pronounce it?
Innovative. Shut up, Jane.
But
you know what? I don't like the fact that, one, you laughed off mic, and then you turned your mic up to laugh more.
I just think it's funny because I can't even replicate how you say it. Innovative.
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 I'm barely innovative. A high school graduate. Come on now.
But it's an, I'm going to say it my way, innovative way to approach this. I'm just interested on the other side of just, you know, getting the pledge. And if people are not feeling a little used and abused, because she was very cute.
She's very, I mean, but she's upfront. It says, yeah. I mean, like, there's no, I don't think what she's doing is catfishing at all, because no. I've seen the horrors of that. But I can see how someone might be like, oh, yay. Okay, I'll vote. Because okay. That was me when I was single.
All right. When we come back, we are going to be talking to researcher Don Kramer from Wisconsin Policy Forum about his new report on Wisconsin schools turning to emergency teaching licenses amid teacher shortages. Stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Can't see. Baby, don't care. No. Baby just cares for, he just says his breath.
She's up all night till the sun. I'm up all night to get sun. She's up all night for good fun. We're up all night to get data. We're up all night to patch grams. We're up all night for GKs. We're up all night to write grants. We're up all night to get data. We're up all night to get data. We're up all night to get data.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Nettner. Greg Bach does not like the parody song of Up All Night to Get Data. He wanted it to be the original.
Yeah.
You're disappointed.
I love Daft Punk. I have a Daft Punk tattoo, and that really hurt my feelings.
But that song means that we are doing another edition of summarizing Wisconsin Policy Forum reports, because only nerds read Wisconsin Policy Forum reports. And this time, well, we say nerds lovingly, Don Kramer, because I certainly read Wisconsin Policy Forum reports. And so we are talking to researcher Don Kramer on his new reports that, you know, on the one hand, I don't think any of us are surprised that we have a teacher shortage. But you also found the alarming spike of emergency licenses that are being given out to basically deal with the fact that we have a teacher shortage, right?
Yeah, and it's not a spike. This has been going on for the last 10 years. We see that the licenses have gone up from about 1,000 from about 10 years ago to about 3,000 emergency licenses in 2022. So it's not a COVID thing.
Yeah.
This is a slow increase over the years.
So I guess for those of us who are unfamiliar with what does it take to just get your teaching license, not the emergency one, but just a teaching license in Wisconsin?
Right. So for a teaching license, you know, usually you'd go to college for 4 years and you'd take classes on, you know, how to be a teacher pedagogy, and that's how to teach things. And then usually if you're in early education, you're talking about development of children, or if you're a math teacher, you're going to be taking math classes. Science teacher, you're going to take science classes. And usually there's some experience that you have to do too, being a student teacher. So you know, there's requirements like that for any degree, but then also to get this teaching license, you know, it's usually a multi-year process.
And then in compare that to what is an emergency license, and what does it take to get that?
So an emergency license, first off, I should say, that's something schools call it. It's something teachers call it. But DPI, the Department of Public Instruction, calls it a license with stipulations. So
okay.
It might be unfair that we're calling it an emergency license, because that's not what DPI calls it.
Okay.
But everyone calls it an emergency license. To do that, the types of people that get emergency licenses, this is something that needs to be done. Sometimes you've got someone moving from out of state and they've got a license in Illinois, but they need to do something for Wisconsin. So they need an emergency license for a year. Or maybe someone's an elementary teacher and they're becoming a reading teacher and they have to get a specific, you know, class under their belt or something like that. So there's situations like that where, yeah, we need a short-term license. But also, it's one of the situations, a very common situations now, is a school needs someone to fill a role. They don't have anyone that's certified. They find someone with a bachelor's degree, and they can apply for this emergency license from DPI to have someone with a bachelor's degree. That would be the minimum, I think, to get that emergency license. And the district is asking for that.
So it's basically, you still have your bachelor's, but not necessarily the hours spent or the certain certifications in the specialty that you're doing.
Yep, that's exactly it. So sometimes it's not anything related to what you're teaching also. So,
and so as we see an increase of these, like, what is the process once you have, so say you get this emergency license or a license with stipulation, is the intention then that you go get those, that extra criteria or those extra certifications, and then reapply to get like a long-term license?
Sometimes it is and sometimes it's not. And that's what's sort of tough about this, is the data doesn't tell you that. If someone's just filling in for a year because the school needs a reading teacher before they get a long-term one, well, I don't know if anyone's really intending that elementary teacher to like go back to school and get those classes. But if you're looking for a long-term solution, then I guess you would be expecting these people that don't have backgrounds in education to be taking some sort of class, an alternative certification program. Oftentimes they're meeting at night after school and getting the long-term degree. I should also say at this point, I've been working for the forum for a couple months. Prior to this, I was a high school math teacher for 10 years. And I got an emergency license back in 2008. So you're asking me these things.
You're familiar with the process, yeah.
So I'm not necessarily, some of this is just very anecdotal from my experience, as opposed to like what's actually in the data. So I shouldn't give that caveat.
No, but I think that's important. Because I think, but one of the things that you said, that it feels like, and it maybe, I don't, in looking at the data, because some of the conclusions that it seems like they're being drawn is this is, whether it's a good or bad, or no, like objectively, this is just a solution right now, because over the last 10 years, and like you said, it's not necessarily a COVID thing. I would say speculation that it was maybe an Act 10 thing and the shifting attitudes towards teachers, but we don't have to. I said that, not you. and that we have a problem with having enough teachers. And so, and I've heard this argument from other administrators that there is some contingency that thinks that the, to solve this, it's not only just these emergency licenses, but in general, lowering the requirements to get licenses. And so in, whether it's anecdotal or in the data, like how much is this a viable long-term solution until we have more recruitment of people who want to go into teaching long-term?
Right. And that's what we're sort of seeing in the data, just because we're seeing people applying for licenses multiple years in a row. So it seems like we're using the emergency license program not just for a one-year fix, but it's sort of a way that people are getting a license for 2 or 3 years while they're getting their training. It just seems that way, because I don't know why else it would take you 2 or 3 years. You know, that's not just a quick fix. It seems like people are getting their long-term training under the emergency license program.
Interesting. We're talking to Don Kramer, who's a researcher at Wisconsin Policy Forum, about his new report, looking at the data, saying that Wisconsin schools are turning to emergency teaching licenses basically as a solution to the teacher shortage. And so, Don, with where are we seeing this? I know it's statewide, but as far as is there other patterns as far as where this is happening more or less?
So we were looking into that right off the bat, because we do hear a lot of when I was interviewing individual districts, everyone seems like they're struggling more than others, but it is all over. You know, we oftentimes break down school districts by urban, suburban, town, and rural. And so, you know, the urban districts have more openings. They have more, you know, applicants, but they also just have more openings in general. A lot of times you hear rural districts saying, we can't get anyone to apply for this one opening. So everyone's sort of struggling with this overall. Now, in general, historically, urban districts have more emergency licenses than the other three categories. But the actual increase has been steady in all four categories.
Oh, wow.
So,
Don, as a former teacher yourself, I don't know about you, I am still really ticked off about the way our teachers were demonized under a certain administration and how commonplace that became. And that certainly has, I realize this may not be reflected in your data, but that has to be part of the reason why fewer people want to go into education.
We do talk about this, you know, as a pipeline paper. You know, we can't talk about the whole pipeline of why people don't enter the profession, why they're leaving it, but it definitely seems like a Band-Aid along that pipeline. And sometimes we talk about, how do we talk about, or we discuss, like, how does society deal with teachers and think about teachers? And is this a cultural problem?
Well, because, and you can correct me if, because what some of the things I've seen and read is, it is, there are still a lot of people who want to go into teaching, but it's people staying. It's like, you know, the people who you hear that when I grew up having teachers who've been doing it 30, their entire life. And it's the burnout now of, it's one thing to recruit and have people who have that idealistic, like, I want to be a teacher. Mm-hmm. There's still, I think, still a lot of those people, but it's the reality of what's there once you get there. And I feel like that, whether we loosen licensing and what criteria goes into that, or we have more of these emergency licenses, like, that doesn't help the burnout problem or the lifestyle of, like, I can't do this, no matter how, who you let become a teacher, right? Yep.
Absolutely. We were talking about that with emergency licenses too. If these people are, this is their training while they're working also, how tough that must be to be a brand new teacher and take night classes. And, you know, how do districts support those individuals so that they don't burn out after 1 year?
Did he come up with anything?
No, not yet.
These things
pizza parties.
Pizza parties.
Yeah.
And so I guess what motivated, is it because you were a teacher? Is that one of the motivations you had to start looking into this now that you've been in
Actually, we have a year-long project going on of just teacher turnover in general. We have a student fellow that's working on that, and she keeps coming across this issue. And when we saw the numbers, you know, tripled in 10 years, we're like, oh, there's a story here, you know? And even if it's not a juicy story, I mean, there's something here that this is telling.
It is telling. I mean, I when I saw the headline as far as, or saw the report, I was like, well, this feels complimentary to everything else that we're hearing. As far as, you know, I feel like every couple of weeks there is another headline in Wisconsin, whether it's at a district level or the state level, of we have a shortage of teachers, and that is going to be a bigger and bigger problem. And on the, you know, and that's tied with school districts and a bunch of other things. But I guess as far as with this report, or even with other things, other reports and research you guys are doing, what are some of the biggest takeaways right now as far as being suggestions or proposals or things that, because I would imagine that this is not, the DPI would look at something like this and be like, we know we have to fix this. And so, like, what has the reception been of even stuff that you've put out already? Or, like, what do you think people should be taking away from this?
I'm hoping that just because we are seeing so much renewals, that if this is a way that people are being trained to become teachers, I'm hoping districts are thinking about that. Who in their building currently needs more support? And that might be just being exposed to different methodologies of teaching or different philosophies. And maybe they won't even do it, but just to have that background information, if they need more mentorship. I'm definitely thinking of this more as a district by district. How do they approach the issue as opposed to DPI? However, DPI does have an option for a 3-year license with stipulations. That's usually someone that already has a license and they're trying to work towards another one. So we're thinking, you know, is that an option? If DPI already thinks about some people on a 3-year plan, could they sort of start approaching people with no teaching background, and how do they support those people, you know, if they're already thinking on that 3-year program?
And I guess this is more of an opinion question than a data question, because I think about this in all the different shortages we have of professional degrees right now, whether it's nursing and mental health and public defenders, and there's so many different things. Do you feel like you can, having been a teacher, that this is something that is not necessarily like a medical degree of some sort, that you can get on the job training and still be good at your job? Like, is that a viable way of thinking, or is it something like, no, we should have these standards still?
Absolutely. And also, I thought it was helpful that I had work experience before I was in a classroom, just because I could talk about, you know, I taught math and like the quadratic equation, like it's not that big of a deal. Like, it's cool. It is cool.
I knew it.
But but statistics, like, schools aren't teaching stats as much as they should. That's something that
is
we
useful
use in work all the time.
Yeah. Well, so super interesting. I'm excited to see what other research you guys continue to work on. We'll have to have you back soon. But thanks so much for spending time with us, Don.
Thank you very much. This has been great.
Yes, absolutely. So Don Kramer is a researcher at Wisconsin Policy Forum. We will link that report in our show notes for today at asgoeswisconsin.com/listen. Thank you so much, Don. All right, we'll be back in just a minute. Even the postdoc went home. Why won't this DNA clone? I'm in the lab to get data. We're up all night to write code. We're up all night till brains glow. We're up all night to be smooth. We're up all night to get data. We're up all night for this poster. Oh, how I hate Illustrator. Why can't I not move this figure? Hope no one scoops my next paper. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Greg's happy because he got the real version.
So much.
I aim to please.
Thank you. I cannot tell you how much I love Daft Punk. I have a tattoo of them on my body. That's how much I love Daft Punk.
What is the tattoo? Their helmets?
No, actually, it's their gloves in the form of the Run the Jewels pistol and fist logo. So it's Run the Jewels and Daft Punk in one tattoo. It was actually featured on New York Times' website.
Really?
Yeah, they were talking about Run the Jewels fans getting tattoos, and their Twitter account said, you got a Run the Jewels tattoo? And I posted, I'm like, here it is. And it was the first one. So if you look up Run the Jewels tattoos, my chest shows up on, which I then tell people I've been featured in the New York Times.
That's fair.
That's a credit.
You definitely have. All right. Well, are you going to, this is for anyone can answer.
Yeah.
Are you going to opening day? The Brewers are back, baby.
Monday, right?
Well, opening day at AmFam. AmFam is Monday.
Yep.
Tomorrow night, there is a night game. I guess that is called opening. I don't know if it's opening day, though.
It's the away opener.
It's the away opener Thursday night. I'm going to the one at Wrigley on Saturday that I thought was opening day, but apparently not.
Oh.
Of course, baseball has like five opening days. What?
Oh, they're playing the Mets on Monday.
Oh, so they're not playing. So now you can go. So big Brewers fan over here, Greg Bach.
That sounded sarcastic.
No, I'm just saying you were so adamant that you were not going to go to the opener at AmFam on Monday.
I don't.
Because you couldn't bear losing to if we were playing the Cubs.
You don't understand, okay?
Apparently not.
You don't.
Explain it.
You don't understand. You see, Cubs fans are mean, and they come from this. And here's the thing is, they don't come from the city to Milwaukee. They come from the suburbs with their attitudes and their highfalutinness and their electric cars. And they come to the city, they drive like crazy people. They outnumber us every time. And when they win, they are the sorest winners on earth. And it's the point where White Sox fans come to Cubs Brewers games to cheer on the Brewers.
Just to piss off Cubs fans?
I went to a Brewers game a couple years ago, and there was a guy there in White Sox jersey, and he goes, I love two teams. I love the White Sox and whoever the Cubs are playing. And it's just, it's like with St. Louis, too. St. Louis is a more just deeper ingrained because they're so successful, and they always just, at like the All-Star break, they're like, oh, we're going to be good again. Sorry, we're just going to be first place now. Sorry, we're St. Louis, we're amazing. But the Cubs, it's like you're dirty little punk brother who gets a job and thinks he's something, and because he's still sleeping on his mother's couch. I just don't like it. But they're playing the Mets, so who cares?
So now you'll go on Monday.
That's how little I knew about the season because I've been so busy. I thought tomorrow's season started tomorrow at AmFam. I call it AmFam. That's right. I called it AmFam.
Are you not supposed to? I call it AmFam.
People still call it Miller Park and protests and blah, blah, blah. But maybe I'll go then. It's a Monday game.
The Monday game starts at 1.
Yeah.
So we'll still be on air when it kicks off, but I don't know. Depending on how warm or cold it is, I could maybe be convinced to go after we're done here.
No kidding.
But I'm excited to go on. I haven't been in Wrigley in like 10 years.
It's such a beautiful park.
It is a beautiful park. So you know, I haven't been to Chicago for a while. So we're going on Saturday. So that should be a good time. But
who are you rooting for?
Of course, we're rooting for the Brewers. I don't like the Cubs.
I don't know. I never know. Some people have things. They do things. There's things that happen.
Definitely not a Cubs fan. But I just wanted to share this pretty incredible Brewers baby story.
So cute.
So a couple used that. So it was a couple who had gone through IVF once. They're big Brewers fans. They had gone through IVF once, which we all know, not cheap.
And yeah, very expensive.
And it didn't work. And then they went to a Brewers game last year. They won the 50-50 raffle, and they used that money to do another round of IVF. And their baby boy will now attend his first game at the 2023 home opener on Monday.
Oh.
Is that not the best story?
That might be half the reason why I go now.
I mean, they won $18,470. I didn't realize the 50-50 raffle was that much money.
Oh my gosh, yes. Yes.
Holy.
Is that
dollars? Is Dolores.
Is that per game, or is that over the course of the entire season?
That's per game. So yeah, if you have a sold out game and they seat about 41,000, you can walk out there with like $20,000 if you win. If everyone bought a ticket, that is.
And so that is, they won that chunk of money. And just their little miracle Brewers baby.
Did they name him Bernie?
What did they name him? They named him Foster, and they're gonna call him Fozzie. Murphy, and he was born February 22nd, 2023, and so I'm sure they'll have him with his little newborn
headphones
on, because it'll be loud. Which is so adorable. But
and Monday's not looking too bad either. If you are going to the Brewers home opener, 53 degrees and sunny.
So because at one point they said scattered showers. No more scattered showers.
Maybe in the morning, but Noah right now says Monday. 20% chance of rain.
Who cares? We got a roof.
That's true. And 20%.
It's more of the tailgating. Because did you go last year?
I did not. I haven't gone to a home opener since 2018.
Last year I went. It was my first home opener ever. And because I didn't grow up down here, and so we didn't go from Madison and be like, let's go to Milwaukee for the home opener. We were not enough of a baseball family to do that. So I was really excited for my first, opening day. And once we got inside, it was fun. The wind last year was unlike anything I've ever experienced in my life as far as trying to be outside.
Yeah.
And there was enough people who were doing it. Granted, they took a lot of booze to like withstand and keep being outside. Because doors open, it's like, why would you not go inside? This is miserable.
Yeah. I can't stay. Like, I love a good tailgating, but once the game's starting, I'm going in. These people who are like, we'll go into the third or fourth. I'm like, no. I didn't pay money to watch you cook a hot dog poorly. I'm going inside to watch baseball.
Do you have strong feelings about how much they're trying to speed up the game?
Yes. Yes.
Pro? Con?
Con.
Not liking it.
Not liking anything they're doing. Leave it alone. This is the only, folks, this is the only place where I get conservative here, baseball. I don't like this whole put a guy on second when there's a tie. I don't like this whole seven innings per doubleheader. I don't like any of this stuff. Any of it. Leave it alone.
Get off my lawn.
Leave it alone. You want to change something? Change me.
God.
Yeah, No, leave it alone.
Okay.
It's worked for 200 years.
But they're saying it's not working. They're not competing anymore. They're not getting new viewership.
Yeah, but I don't think these little changes are going to make the difference.
Okay.
I don't think making the game a half an hour or less makes a difference. People still watch football for 3 hours. Good Lord.
All right. Well, on that delightful sound noise, we are going to take a break for the top of the hour news. When we come back, comedian AJ Grill will be here, and we're going to talk to him about his album, doing comedy in Milwaukee and across the country. Stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We're up all night to get lucky. We're up all night to get lucky. We're up all night to get lucky.
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.